תזכו בנחמת ציון. I know my time is limited. But I would like to say, as an introduction, my warm feelings towards this great synagogue, the dear synagogue. I think many of you that are sitting here know that my career didn't begin in Lawrence Avenue.
This one?
Actually, I did start my career in Deal in this synagogue, and I have the fondest memories, and I have Hakarat HaTov to all the rabbis, those that are here, those that are not. And the shul continues to have my full support, and I believe that it's doing such a good job promoting Torah, teaching Torah. The only problem is with Torah, there's no money, because people that study Torah are busy studying Torah, so their mind is not on money. So it's a catch-22. You have a whole building filled with hundreds of people learning all day and all night, and then all the money is somewhere else. So my recommendation is that everybody that, whether you come to the shul or not, I stopped praying in the shul many years ago, as you know, but I still give whatever I can give to the shul to support it, because it's part of our community. And we have to support all community organizations that are doing good things. And the Deal Synagogue is right in front. So therefore, they have a right to solicit. And I wish them well. And Be'ezrat Hashem, they should continue to promote Torah, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Amen. I mean, Teslas and Rolexes, that's gimmicks. You don't need to have a gimmick to support Torah. Just support Torah L'Shem Shamayim. There's no, that's a gimmick. Atem overim b'givul achechem b'nei Esav ha'yoshivim b'se'ir. Al tetgaru bam. Ki lo eten lachem me'arsam ad medrach kaf ragel. We read in yesterday's parashah that the Jewish people were passing by the territory called Seir. Seir is a formidable territory. It actually belongs to our arch enemy, Esav. So the Torah says, Al tetgaru bam. You're not able to fight with them. Do not instigate them. Ki lo eten lachem me'arsam. You don't have rights to take from their land yet. But there will come a time where that land and that territory of Esav, of Seir, of Amalek, you'll have rights to it. And when is that time? Ad Midrach Kaf Ragel. Ad Midrach, until Midrach, treading Kaf Ragel of the leg. Until the leg, until the feet will be able to tread. It's cryptic. But the Torah clearly is telling us a time. What is this time? That time is predicted by the Nabi that says, Va'alu Moshi'im Bahar Siyon, that the Redeemers, the Meshi'im, will come to Mount Zion, Lishpot et Har Esav. And at that moment, there's going to be a stake that's going to be placed on Har Esav, on Mount Esav, and Esav is going to be diminished. And that time will be when Ad Midrach Kafragel. Will be at the time that the foot is able to tread. This is again mysterious. I won't be repetitive so much, although we said a lot of derashot on this yesterday. There was a great rabbi called the Hafla'a. In his Sefer Panim Yafot, he said that there was a great event that took place, that would become a precursor for all Jewish history, and that is the night that Yaakov Abinu was in a bout with the Satan himself. The Malach, the Samech Mem. The Samech Mem was wrestling Ve'yavek Ish Immo. Wrestling the entire night until the morning. And this wrestling match represents that Esav, who this angel represented, was his ambassador, is going to wrestle with Bnei Yisrael throughout the generations. And they're going to fight with us. And it's going to be brutal. And it's going to hurt. To the extent the Malach was even able to level a blow to the calf of Yaakov Avinu, where temporarily he walked away limping, which represents that Klal Yisrael, the children of Yaakov Avinu, for thousands of years, which we are now 1,953 years of Galut Esav, that wrestling match is not going to be 10 rounds. It's going to be a match that's going to last for almost two millennium. And there's going to be collateral damage. The fact that the angel was able to get Yaakov Avinu limping, that means there's going to be a national limp in Klal Yisrael. The Hatam Sofer says, and he figures it out mathematically according to the calendar, that that fight of Yaakov and the Samech Mem was on Leil Tisha B'Av. He has proofs. And then he comes along and he says, the Hatam Sofer that is, that he hit him in the Gid. The Gid is the sinew, the Gid HaNasher. And we know that in our bodies there's 365 Gidim, Shasa Gidim. And our rabbis tell us they correspond the Shasam Mitzvot Lo Ta'aseh, 365 sinew corresponding to 365 negative commandments. And the Hatam Sofer says that the negative commandment of eating the Gid HaNasher also is represented in one of the days of the year, because we have 365 days in the year. So every Avera in the Torah has a day. And he said that the Gid HaNasher corresponds to Tisha B'Av. And he explains, Al ken lo yechilu b'nei Yisrael et Gid HaNasher. He says the word et is Rashi Tevot Tisha Av. And he comes along and says, because while Klal Yisrael is going to suffer many tragedies, but the month of Av, and specifically Tisha B'Av, is going to be the day we remember what happened to the Gid HaNasher of Yaakov Avinu. That limp is going to be reminded from year to year on the day of Tisha B'Av. And it's not going to be one event, it's going to be many. And therefore the Pasuk says, you're now going to enter the Givul of your brother Esav, and it's going to be a long trip. And you're not going to inherit them, and they're not going to stop. Ad midrach kafragel, until the leg of Yaakov is healed. Until Klal Yisrael will be able to be repaired. When Klal Yisrael will be able to walk without having to be haunted by the anti-Semites that are continuing the job of Samech Mem. Ad midrach kafragel. Well, if that's the case, I would like to talk about a few events in Jewish history. One event took place in the year 1648. The Hachamim referred to it as the Gezerot Tach V'Tat. Tach is Tafchet. Tafchet is 408. In the year 5408, the great Tzaddikim were predicting that it was going to be a great year of redemption. The great Mikubal, the Shach al Torah, wrote, Bezot Yavo Aharon el HaKodesh. And he said the word Zot, Zayin Alef Taf, equals 408. And he said, Bezot, in the year of Zot, Yavo Aharon el HaKodesh. But instead, that year and its subsequent year became known as one of the most torturous, and bloodstained years in our history. Khmelnytsky, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, who led the Cossacks in Ukraine, where over 300,000 Jews were murdered brutally in ways that I don't even have the ability to say in public. Read the stories, what they did to the Jewish people. They didn't just kill them. If they killed them, it would have been a blessing. They tortured them. Even the great Rabbi Rabbi Shimshon Masrapoli, alav shalom, was part of that massacre. He took 300 men and they wore shrouds and they went into one of the shuls in the Ukraine and they were praying and the Cossacks came in and they split Rabbi Shimshon in half. Hundreds of Jewish communities were ravaged, never to be recovered. And they tell stories of that time. The terrible time, Tahvitat. There was a bride, Jewish girl. She was taken by a Cossack to get married. Of course, she doesn't want to go with him. On the night of the wedding, she tells the Cossack, us Jews have magical powers. We can have kavanot of certain names of God, and even if they shoot a bullet at us, we're protected. We're in a force field. The Cossack didn't believe it, so she said, try it. And sure enough, he took his gun out and shot her. And of course, it didn't work, and she died. Al Kiddush Hashem. Another lady was getting married to a Cossack. She took up. She said, I want to get married in the church. He said, you're Jewish, you want to get married in the church? Yeah. If we're going to do it, we'll get married in the church. But the church is across the river. So we'll take a boat. They got on the boat. The second she got on the boat, she jumped off the boat. She drowned. There's hundreds of stories like this of the Mesirut Nefesh, of the Tzaddikim that gave their lives not to convert, not to acquiesce, not to bow. This happened in the year Tafchet. Rabbi Shimshon Masrapoli at the time predicted it. And he said, we say every day in Az Yashir, Teshallah Haronecha, that there's going to come a time where God is going to let out his fury. Teshallah Haronecha. And he says, that's Rashi Tevot Tafchet. He said, it came true. But there was a great rabbi called the Admor Mikuznitz. The Admor Mikuznitz wrote a sefer called Nezer Yisrael. I have a copy of what he wrote. It's almost prophetic. In his sefer, he writes, כמו שכתב הרב שמשון מאסטרופולי, וקצת היה בשנת תפחית. Some of these tragedies manifested themselves in the year תפחית. ראשי תיבות תשלח ארונך. And then he writes, ואי אפשר לפרש יותר, אלא מפה לאוזן. He said, I cannot expound anymore on this secret in writing form. If anybody wants to know the secret, I can only tell it to them, פה לאוזן, mouth to ear. That means this great Mekubal knew some information about the Gezerot of Tach Vetat. He said, yes, we know Teshalach Aronecha, but there's more to be said, but I cannot write it. Many years later, there was a great rabbi called the Netivot Shalom, the great Admor from Slonim. And he came along and started to reveal some of the secret. And he said a tremendous chiddush. We cannot understand Jewish tragedy. We don't understand why these things happen to us. As a matter of fact, God told the prophet Yehezkel, after the destruction of the temple, not to even mourn. As if to say that mourning is not enough. There's no way to even mourn something that you don't understand. As the Pasuk says, "V'hamaskil ba'etahi yidom." The wise man at that time will be quiet. But he says there was a moment in history that took place in the times of Haman. Haman was the grandson of Esav. We came very close to annihilation. Lashmid, Larog, Ulabed. And you all know how that turned out. We got saved. Haman wasn't able to destroy us. Ben Hafochu. Instead, Haman and his sons and the rest of our enemies were destroyed. We dodged a bullet. But Admor Mislanim said, it was a temporary suspension of a gezerah. The gezerah would eventually come to full manifestation. And he says, if you look in Megillat Esther, in the first chapter, you see the word Hur. The Chet of Hur is written large. If you look at the end of Megillat Esther, it says Vatikhtov. The Taf of Vatikhtov is also written large. Why did Queen Esther write those two letters, Taf Chet? Why did she write them in a big font? Said the great Netivot Shalom, because she was saying that what didn't happen in the times of Haman would eventually come to fruition, at least in the beginning stages, in the years Taf Chet. But then he came along and said something greater. He said the Pasuk says, Yochelemo Kakash, that there's going to come a time where our enemies are going to devour us like straw. He said, and that what the Admor Mikushnis meant, that I cannot reveal what's going to happen after the years, Tah. That's what happened during the Holocaust. In the Holocaust, the Jewish people were like straw. They were like Kash. They were incinerated in the furnaces in Auschwitz and Treblinka and Belzec. They were pulverized into ashes. Yochelemo Kakash, said the Rebbe. What didn't happen in Megillat Esther ultimately happened in future generations, in the year Tafhet, and then again in the Holocaust. Yochelemo Kakash. As a matter of fact, if you look in Megillat Esther, besides the big letters, Tafhet, there's the small letters. Three letters that are written in small font next to the 10 sons of Haman. The letters Tafshin Zayin, which correspond 1946, which was the year that the Holocaust came to an end. And the Slonim Rebbe said, in the Megillat Esther, said they were hinting to us that what happened in the Holocaust is a conclusion to what was supposed to happen in the times of Megillat Esther. And the Megillah wrote both dates, Tafhet and Tafshin Zayin. Reshit Goyim Amalek. They're always the first nation. They're always the first nation that can turn on us on a dime. Even though they lived in Germany, everything looked good. But in a moment, in a second, the Hebrew word for a second is rega. Rega rashe tevot reshit goyim Amalek. That in a moment, Amalek is able to turn on us with all their decency and all their ethics and all their culture. And therefore the story of Tachvetat and the story of the Holocaust, the destruction of European Jewry, is actually the materialization of the decree of Haman many years later. If that's the case, I understand the prediction that it says in the Navi. Rashi brings it down in our parasha that when the Pasuk says, you will not overcome Esav ad midrach kafragel, Rashi says, Ad shiyavo yom derisat kaf regel al har hazetim. Shne'emar v'yamdu raglav. The Navi Zechariah predicts that before Mashiach comes, God himself is going to stand on har hazetim. V'yamdu raglav. And at that time, har hazetim is going to crack in half. and the resurrection will begin. And the Pasuk comes along and tells us God is going to stand on the mountain. And the Midrash asks, what is the significance that he's going to stand? And the rabbis tell us in Midrash, Tanhuma, that sometimes when God punishes, he sits. That's when he punished the world in the times of the flood. Adonai lemabul yashav. And sometimes when God punishes, he doesn't sit, but he passes. He's moving. Like it says in Egypt, Ba'avarti ba'layla hu be'eris Mitzrayim. Ba'avarti, he passes. But he says the worst punishment is when God punishes when he's standing. In Egypt, he only killed the firstborns. Ba'avarti. But when it comes to Esav, that nekama that God's going to take, the Pasuk says, Ya'amdu raglav, he's going to stand. And that's what the Pasuk says in our parasha. You will not get domination over Esav ad midrach kafragel until God himself stands on Harizetim, not sits and not passes, and will take revenge. Like the Pasuk says, V'nakav yashiv l'sarav, God will take the revenge, Hashem yimkom damav, of all those Jews that died at the hands of Reshit Goyim Amalek. And our tradition says that we must believe in the ultimate coming of the Mashiach, the Redeemer. But I think there's a great misconception in how that belief manifests itself. And I would like to review our tradition, the way it was understood by the great Tzaddikim, Rav Chaim Brisker, the Brisker Rav, and others, in understanding this very important principle of Harambam, to believe in the coming of the Mashiach. The tradition is that we must believe that Mashiach can come at any second. Now, some of you will say, well, he can't come at any second, because we have Gemariot that tell us, or traditions that tell us, that Eliyahu HaNavi has to come 3 days before the Mashiach to announce him. So as we know now, Eliyahu HaNavi has not come yet. So at least we can assume we are 3 days out from Mashiach. The Brisker Rav said, when they asked him that question, that what do you do with the fact that we can't believe that Mashiach is going to come every second? Doesn't Eliyahu HaNavi come first? He said, it's a good question, we'll ask Mashiach when he comes. But in the meantime, you have to believe every second. And there are those that delay the belief in Mashiach because the Gemara says, not about Mashiach, it says about Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi cannot come on Shabbat or Yom Tov. So therefore they say, at least on Shabbat, you don't have to believe that Mashiach is going to come. You know, for 24 hours, he's not coming. Or Yom Tov, you know he's not coming. Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, Shabbat, there's Tehumim, there's issues. The Brisker Rav said, that's not true. You have to believe that Mashiach can come even on Shabbat. Every second of every single day of the year, no exceptions. And he brought from the Kereti, which is Rav Yonatan Ivishis, that said there's two methods that Mashiach can come. He could come early or he could come on time. Be'ita achishena. Be'ita means on time, achishena is early. And the system of coming early, he can come any day. And you have to believe that he can come early. And when he comes early, he's medalega laharim mekapetza lagivaot. He could come at any moment. And therefore, it's true. When we come along and say the Shit Goyim Amalek, and we're reminded of all the atrocities that took place in Jewish history, and Tisha B'Av is the day that we're reminded by it. Tisha B'Av is the day that the angel led the permanent blow in Yaakov Abinu, although he recovered. Yaakov recovered, but his children would not. And we are still suffering that limp. Ad Midrach Kafragel. that the Mashiach will not come and Esav will not fall ad bedrach kafragel, until the leg of Yaakov will be healed. And that will take place when God Almighty stands on Harazetim, not sits and not passes, when he stands with full revenge. Like the Pasuk says, Libilti hish'id lo sarid, there will be no remnants. The nekama will be complete. There will be no survivors of that great revenge of the Oseh Nekama, of the El Nekamot Hashem, that will take place. But in the meantime, our tradition tells us we must yearn and be hopeful for the coming of the Mashiach. There was a great rabbi in Lakewood Yeshiva of Nassim Wachvogel, Alav HaShalom. He was a big ma'amin that Mashiach could come at any moment. He lived with that belief, with that yearning. It was before Rosh Hashanah, one of the boys in the yeshiva was practicing the shofar. The rabbi was lying on his bed next to the yeshiva, and all of a sudden he hears, doo, 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 doo. He jumped, he said, he's here, he's here. So who's here? Mashiach, hear the shofar. He's practicing. The great Tzaddikim lived with that belief. It's true, Reshit Goyim Amalek. But Reshit Goyim Amalek also is Reshit Tevot Rega, because he can come at any Rega and then Amalek will be finished. Ad Midrach Kafragel. Until that day comes that God will stand and eradicate. Maybe that's why we have the custom. Whenever we hear the name of Amalek, whenever we hear the name of Haman, what's our instinctive reaction? We bang with our feet. We bang with our feet because we're giving a remez to what God is going to do. Our midrach kaf regel, our treading with our regel to bang out and blot out our enemies, that's symbolic. But we are giving a remez that we have full faith and belief that God Almighty will come on that day on Har HaZetim, and he will take his foot, of course, metaphorically, and he will bang it on Har HaZetim. It will not be a revenge of Yashav or Va'avar. And at that time, justice will be met. But until that moment, it is for us to continue to believe that any moment the Mashiach can come and can appear. And this is why we have great consolation, even on a day like Tisha B'Av, because already we have these predictions that were set forth in the Torah. But let nobody make a mistake to try to figure out why these things happen. There are so much geniuses that wrote books to try to explain the Holocaust, why it happened, and what's the reason, and what's the cause. And after everything was written, and after all the books were printed, we still don't know anything. And we still don't have clarity. The reaction of Klal Yisrael to tragedy must be v'maskil ba'et ahi yidom. The wise man at that time remained silent. Until the day where God reveals himself and unravels these great mysteries. Maybe that explains well, although the rabbis, after the Gezerot of Tach V'Tat, they decreed a fast day. Ashkenazim have a fast day to commemorate the tragedies of Tach V'Tat, the 20th day of Sivan. Many of the Ashkenazim, they fast, they make Semichot. The Baba V'Rebbe gave a remez. He said that Tach was the Gezerah that didn't happen on Purim. Like we said, what was suspended on Purim ended up happening in Tach and then later on. But he said with the Pasuk, Kiyad al Kesya, that's Amalek. Kiyad is Yud Dalet, that's Purim, is on the 14th. Purim is a holiday. But unfortunately, Kiyad al Kes, Kes Lashet Tevot Chaf Sivan, where we got saved on Yud Dalet, unfortunately, we didn't do so good many years later. Kiyad al kes. And therefore, it's not for us to try to unravel it. These are mysteries, they're beyond comprehension. Many years ago, I was giving a dirash in Achiezer at the time. And I was talking about the Shoah, the Holocaust. And after I finished, there was an old man sitting in the class. And the old man came to me after Arbit. And he pulled up his sleeve. And he says, "You see what this is?" I said, these are the numbers. He was a survivor. He says, "You weren't there. I was there." And then he looked at me with the most serious eyes and says, "Don't talk about it so much. You don't understand. You don't even know what you're talking about." He says, "Don't talk so much. You think you figured it out in the class. You explained it this way. You said a dirash. You said a chidush. You went this way. You went that way. You quote a couple of pesukim." He says, "Let me give you advice. You don't know anything about it. Nobody knows anything about it. I saw it. You cannot even conceptualize what took place over there. Therefore, you're a young guy. My advice to you is keep quiet." That's a strong advice, and he's right, obviously. Today you have geniuses that come along and are going to unravel the greatest mysteries of God, and the tzaddikim, they remain silent. It takes years to figure out what happened in the times of Haman, and Queen Esther wrote Tafchet, Teshalach Aronecha. These things happen over hundreds of years so you can start to even understand a smidgen of the events. And then when the Admon B'Kushnet said that that's only the beginning, I can only say the rest verbally, not in written. He was referring to the end of the process. We cannot figure out the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So on days like this, it's not for us to come along and try to make sense of it. The contrary. They did a study recently on people that come to console people. God forbid mourners, avelim. So they wrote 50 of the most consoling things that people tell mourners. And then they went to mourners and they said, from 1 to 10, tell us how you rate these words that are said to you. How much did they console you? 1 being very little and 10 being the highest. And 0 being not at all. The results of the study were amazing. You know, statements like, "He's in a better place. He's learning with Hashem." And things like this, "He's not suffering anymore." Most of the people wrote not 0 to 10, they wrote negative. They wrote negative. It had a negative effect. And they asked the people why. It is because the people that were coming to console us, they were trying to solve a problem that they can't solve. They thought in their one word, "Oh, he's in a better place. Therefore, you feel better. Then you're okay now. Now it doesn't matter that your husband died because he's in a better place. Now you're fixed." They said, "What are you talking about? You think you fixed me?" And they walked out feeling, "Oh, I gave it to them. I explained it to them. They're in a better place. Now everything's okay." Most of the people said it had a negative effect. And then they asked the mourners, "So what was the best consolation?" When the people said nothing. When the people came in and put their head down, because they realized that this is something too large for them to explain. You don't have to answer everything. You don't have to have an answer for everything. There's certain things you could put your head down and say. Only God, the master consoler, can unravel this. It's not for me. But they said one thing did give them consolation. When people would tell them, "But I'm here for you. That if you need anything in the future, you can call on me, I'm here for you. But this is..." But besides that, most of the... Because people are trying to explain it away. My point is, if we can't explain even the death of one person, how do you think you're going to explain the death, the brutal murder of 6 million? If we can't even console a mourner with a nice adage or a word, how do you think we're going to figure out such a thing on such a massive scale? You can't. Therefore, the reaction of Klal Yisrael, and maybe that's why the Shlomo Rebbe said the Hachamim of the Yeshivot didn't establish a day to commemorate the Holocaust, because it's beyond a day. He said, "Tach, a day can commemorate it." But 6 million, it's too big. A day is not big enough. A day is as if you're minimizing it. Therefore, they said, you have to include it in Tisha B'Av ceremony, you have to include it in other things, but you can't, as if to say, this is the day. It doesn't fit in a day. It doesn't fit in a museum. It doesn't fit in a memorial. Not Chas v'Shalom out of disrespect. On the contrary, out of the magnitude of it, it's too great. It's possible that that's why maybe the Hachamim in Sfarad didn't make a day for the Inquisition. Although we remember it from time to time, I guess somewhere in the keynote maybe. Certain things were too great. And therefore the reaction was just to be astounded and stunned. And, wow, shock. But rest assured, revenge will come. It is predicted always in the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, there will be a time of Midrach Kaf Regel. There will be a time that the Regel of Yaakov will be healed. And there will be a time that God Himself stands on Har Sion and Har HaZetim in a standing position, which is the most aggressive position that Borei Olam has when He takes revenge. And at that point over there will be fulfilled the Pasuk, but in the meantime, our tradition is to believe that He can come at any moment. Today, tonight, Shabbat, Yom Tov, there is no moment that is bereft of the belief of the coming of the Mashiach. And at that moment, Reshit Goyim Amalek, that unprecedented enemy, will be turned into Kash. As the Pasuk says, V'haya bet Yaakov le'esh, u'bet Yosef le'hava, u'bet Esav le'kash. You think it's a coincidence that bet Esav has become kash? What they did to us in the Holocaust, Yochelemo kakash, Borei Olam says, the one that pulverized and burnt and incinerated the Jews like straw. V'haya bet Esav le'kash, what goes around will come around. We pray that Be'ezrat Hashem, as the Pasuk will be fulfilled, V'nakam yashiv l'sarav, V'ya Adonai le'melech al kol ha'aretz, V'yamahu ye'adonai yachad u'shmo yachad.